Hello and welcome to In Conservation With. As always, I'm your host Chris Shine, and I'm delighted to be joined this week in the studio by Lauren Smith and Pippa Summers. Hello to you both.
Hello.
Hi.
So we're going to hear more from them later, but before we do, let's take a look at what's coming up on today's episode. We are going to be speaking to Lauren and Pippa about their experiences of wildlife. We're going to be taking a look at Blue Planet 2 and answering a fun multiple choice quiz on last week's episode. And we're going to finish off with Well I Never, where I'm going to ask Lauren and Pippa true or false questions whether they think this species is found in the UK or it isn't. Okay, so let's start off. Can you please introduce yourself, who you are, maybe your course and any other information you care to give?
I'm Pippa Summers, I do psychology and I come from Doha in Qatar.
I'm Lauren Smith, do psychology as well, spent the last semester studying abroad in Malaysia.
So we're going to start off with the first question that we ask everyone. Mm-hmm. And Pippa, if that's right, I'll start with you.
Yep.
What is your earliest memory of wildlife?
Well, I was born in South Africa and on the beach, quite close to the beach, and there used to be dolphins there. I think that was my earliest memory of like any substantial wildlife. That was like pretty cool.
Yeah, that's well cool. And Lauren, how about you?
Mine's really boring in comparison. Well, we have a pond in my back garden, and me and my older sister used to spend quite a lot of time playing with the frogs. We used to take pictures of them and everything, and yeah, we were a bit obsessed.
So both water-dwelling animals, interesting. Okay, our next question is similar in a way, but it's what is your best experience of wildlife, or your favourite sighting, or your favourite thing you've done to do with wildlife? So Lauren, we'll start with you this time.
Well, a couple of years ago, well, actually, I've been lucky enough to do it twice. I've been on safari in Africa, and that was pretty amazing. Saw pretty much everything you'd want to see on safari, and saw a pride of lions eating a buffalo, so that was pretty cool.
Anything else did you see?
Leopards, saw rhinos, hippos, crocodiles.
Bushbuck?
Hyenas.
Bushbuck?
Which is that like springbuck?
Yeah.
They're like deer-looking things.
Yeah, well,
probably.
Those.
I don't know.
Yeah,
there's lots of stuff. I don't know.
Did you see the Big Five?
Yeah, I think so.
That's
pretty sure.
Cool.
Which Big Five changes, doesn't it?
No.
Quite a lot. There's like different variations.
Or the elephants.
Buffalo.
Yeah.
Lion.
Yeah.
Leopard.
Leopard and hippo, is it? Or if you can correct us on the Facebook page, that'd be fantastic. And Pippa, what's your best experience of wildlife?
Mine was probably when I went hiking for World Challenge. We went hiking in Nepal, in like the Himalayas. That was just really nice.
Did you see anything fun?
Probably a lot of birds. I don't know what exactly they were, but it was really mountainous and nice.
Vultures maybe, or crows, stuff like that?
Yeah.
Swooping around over the mountains.
Yeah, very dramatically.
Fantastic. Okay, so I'm lucky today to be joined by a couple of world travellers, shall we say. So, Pippa, can you tell us a little bit about where you're from and the kind of wildlife you see in that location?
Well, I've lived in Doha for the past 10 years. And, well, in the city, there's not a lot of wildlife, but because it's quite close to the desert, there's like oryxes and camels.
How do you spell oryx?
O-R-Y-X.
Yeah, good.
Why are you testing me? And, oh wait, this is what I've looked up. I've got some fun facts for you. The Arabian oryx used to be, it was almost going to be extinct, but they've got lots of conservation sites around Doha and in the desert. And so now the species is now only vulnerable, which is a great achievement after near extinction.
Nice. Any more?
Falcon. There are 6 different kinds of falcons, and it's a very important animal to Qatar, as it had been used as a hunting tool because of its sharp eyesight. And all around Qatar, they've got falcon hospitals everywhere, which is like,
aww,
they use it as
so
like, it's quite an expensive like hobby, but they love to take their falcons out into the desert.
As you do. And Lauren, how about Malaysia, as you mentioned earlier?
Yeah, well, on campus, there was, well, everywhere really, there's so many birds. They're all so beautiful, like bright yellow, green, really electric blue. They're so eye-catching. And once I looked out my window for my halls, and I just spotted like a whole family of monkeys, which was amazing, just climbing through the trees. So that brightened up my revision. There's elephants,
and turtles as well. Turtle sanctuaries dotted around Malaysia.
Nice.
Yeah, so quite a lot going on.
Do the birds go around on their own or?
No, they all go around in pairs and it is so adorable. They all just fly in little pairs, little relationships always, so cute. Yeah.
So the final question in our little interview segment is, what is your favourite animal?
I have two favourite animals.
Okay.
Firstly, penguins, purely because they do this thing where they go and they find a little rock or a stone for their like partner, and they find that they spend like years trying to find the perfect stone, and then they put it at their partner's feet, and then their partner's forever. Isn't that cute?
That is cute.
And then the other one is a dolphin, just because they're so smart, and they've got half of their brain is asleep at once and the other side is awake, and then they switch, which I find pretty cool. And
all of your brains asleep, miss.
That's what I like. And I've got a dolphin fact. Dolphins have two stomachs. One is used for storage of food and the other is used for digestion. And also they give themselves names, or they give each other's names. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, that's, I didn't cool. know any of that.
Cows have four stomachs, don't they, Lauren?
Yeah, they do.
And Lauren, what's your favourite animal?
Well, I can't really pick one. I really like, it's quite weird, but I really like lionesses. Not just lions in general, but lioness. I think they're really beautiful, like really beautiful. Their faces, their features. And they're so strong, powerful. They do all the work for the men, which is, you know, quite cool.
Main
I quite
gal.
Like tigers as well.
Main gal.
Yeah.
I thought you say horse.
I mean, yeah, but that's pretty generic, isn't it? Like, I like them, but...
And her horses aren't wild either.
So. Yeah.
The second part of section one, we are going to have a little fun game. And what you have to do, I'm going to play you clips of David Attenborough describing a creature, and you have to tell me what creature he's talking about.
Is it from this week, or is it
from any
creature?
Okay. I'll give you a clue, that none of them are from this week. Okay, so...
Are we working together?
Yeah, you can do.
In this tree, there is one of the most extraordinary plant predators. It's one animal that I don't need to sneak up on. Boo! This extraordinary creature is half blind, half deaf, and this is just about as fast as it can move.
Is it a sloth?
What are you going for, sloth?
Sloth.
Pippa, do you agree? Or?
I'd agree with that, just from the slow movement, and well, they're always half asleep.
Let's take a listen to David Attenborough, who can confirm what the species was.
It's a sloth.
Oh, was it?
Oh, no!
Yeah, so... Got absolutely spot on. It was a sloth. And a little interesting fact for you, they're found in South America. And they were named so after the sin of sloth, because they seem lazy.
Wasn't there a sloth on Planet Earth last series?
Yeah, the one that was swimming across the
water.
Yeah.
It moved actually quite fast, didn't it? Was it swimming? Yeah, it was swimming.
Yep, it was.
Specialise in hunting at speed. Though fast, they're fragile creatures, built to sprint after small prey. They don't have the strength or weight of a lion to bring down larger animals.
There was that clip. So what do you think that could be?
I'm going to go with cheetah.
Has to be a cheetah, doesn't it?
Yeah.
What gave it away?
Just the speed.
Speed?
How do you get speed?
Comparison to lions?
Yeah, that's slightly smaller than lion, isn't it?
Let's find out from David Attenborough. David, what were you talking about?
Cheetahs.
So we're going to hear one more.
Usually, they are solitary hunters. But about 50 of them have come here from neighbouring reefs, attracted by this abundance of potential prey.
Was it from Blue Planet a few weeks ago? The big fish, the massive fish.
Yeah, what's it called?
Oh, a big like a whale.
What was it doing, Lauren?
Well, it was impressive because it could like analyse where the birds were. And then it would come out of the water and grab them when they were resting or drinking.
Yeah, perfect.
Don't know what it's called, though.
Yeah.
David, help them up.
Giant trevallis.
Yes, so that was a giant... That was a giant trevallis.
Oh.
You heard there the clip of them jumping out of the water and catching the fish. So we're going to crack straight on to our multiple choice quiz. Our first question is, we witnessed a feeding frenzy and a so-called boiling sea when a shoal of lanternfish were targeted by several different predators. Which of these predators were not at the feeding frenzy? So which of these predators weren't at the feeding frenzy? Was it A, spinner dolphins, B, yellowfin tuna, C, Humboldt squid, or D, mobula rays?
The squid.
The squid, yeah.
There were definitely dolphins.
And the rays had like big gaps in their mouths, didn't they? Or like they had.
Yeah.
They were really funny looking, I remember.
Yep, perfect. So, final answer, squid?
Yeah.
What a wonderful world.
Yep, correct, of course. although. In other situations, Humboldt squid are partial to a lanternfish or two. They weren't present in the boiling sea. Can any of you tell me how long it took for all of the lanternfish to be eaten?
I can't remember.
An hour.
What?
All of those fish in 1 hour demolished. It's horrifying. Okay, so our next question. It's kind of relating to the boiling sea as well. How fast can yellowfin tuna charge at a shoal of fish? Is it A, 5 miles an hour, B, 15 miles an hour, C, 40 miles an hour, or D, 60 miles an hour?
I feel like 40 and 60 is very fast for a fish to be travelling.
What was B?
B was 15.
I'd say 15, for that, yeah.
So you've gone for 15?
Yeah.
A great pile of poo.
Unfortunately, you are wrong. It was 40 miles an hour.
Really? That's not the same as racehorses.
Yeah, they can attain this speed for short periods to catch prey or avoid predators, but they cannot obviously sustain this over a longer period of time. Next question, 1 out of 2 you got. What does the Portuguese man of war do with the fish it catches? A, uses them as bait to catch bigger fish. B, swallows them whole. C, lets them go. Or D, liquefies them.
It liquefies them, I think. It like grabs it, paralyzes it, and then like disintegrates it.
Is that your final answer?
I think so.
What a wonderful world.
Correct. It does liquefy them.
Which fish was this? I can't actually remember.
Jellyfish.
The Portuguese man of war.
Oh, the jellyfish.
Yeah, it like inflates and then sails on the top of the water.
Oh god, that was weird, wasn't it?
It's funny you say that, because although it looks like a jellyfish, technically it is not. It is actually a siphonophore, a collection of organisms that work together.
Wow.
Next question. Scientists believe that the waters around a tiny island in the Galapagos may be a nursery ground for whale sharks. What is the name of the island? Is it A, Whale Shark Island, B, Darwin Island, C, Attenborough Island, or D, Queen Elizabeth Island?
Should be Attenborough Island, but I don't know if it is.
I think it's probably Darwin Island.
I don't know, I think I'd remember that.
I don't know. That's just a guess, really.
I might go...
What are we going for, Laura? Are you going to back yourself or back Pippa?
No, I'll go for Pippa. You go, Pippa. Whatever you think, I'll follow.
What a wonderful world.
It's the correct answer. although we haven't seen young whale sharks in the deep waters around Darwin Island, the large numbers of pregnant females that go there suggest that this could be a likely location. Okay, question 5. The entire world population of wandering albatrosses nest on South Georgia and half a dozen or so other smaller islands in the Southern Ocean. What is the size of the population? Is it A, 16,000, B, 160,000, C, 8,000, or D, 80,000? Tough one, this one.
I don't even know what an albatross is.
That's the bird, isn't it?
Oh,
yeah.
The massive bird.
Got the largest wingspan.
Yeah, they fly for over a year, don't they?
Yeah, correct.
And then they land on the
what aren't they
the
good
same
at doing?
Special rock.
And it's quite hilarious.
I'm not sure. Was it in the episode?
Yeah, they're not very good at landing. So they just kind of face plant the floor, which I think is understandable if you've spent a year at sea, but.
Yeah, and they go back to the same place every time, don't they?
Yeah, and they mate with the same partner every
same
year
partner.
For their whole lives.
And when they get old, don't they just disappear?
What do you mean?
Well, yeah, they just die.
Yeah, but don't they go somewhere? And
yeah,
because no
they don't
where?
Have the... I think they just drop into the sea. Because they don't have the energy to keep flying for a year. They get too old, so it's like...
They're just gone.
It's quite sad.
Oh, that is sad. What was the question again?
There's a lot of
what is the size of the population? 8,000, 16,000, 160,000, or 80,000?
Maybe just go for 80,000.
A great pile of poo.
That's that's wrong, unfortunately. 16,000.
Oh.
I thought they were loads.
We really overestimated that.
80,000 is a lot.
It is a lot. It's a lot of birds.
A couple of small islands. Okay, and our final question, relating nicely to the conservation aspect of the show. One of the biggest threats to marine life is plastic. Roughly how much plastic enters the ocean every year?
Is there no multiple choice for that?
If you let me speak. A, 8 tons. B, 800 tons. C, 8,000 tons. D, 8 million tons.
I mean, I'd really hope it wouldn't be 8 million.
I reckon it could be, though. What's one down from 8
million? 8,000.
Yeah.
That just seems not like that much at all in comparison to 8 million.
Yeah, I'd stretch and say 8 million, though. Ashley?
8 million sounds like a lot.
8,000,
I think.
Yeah, go on, 8,000.
A great pile of poo.
And not for the first time you've managed to convince yourself away from the correct answer. It was 8 million tonnes.
That's so sad.
It's horrifying, and one of the probably most poignant things for me from the episode was the whale carrying its dead baby.
That was so
around
sad.
Around for days because it couldn't...
And we spoke about how they probably felt emotion, and everyone, all the other whales around were like showing signs that they were sad.
Yeah, the whole family.
Yeah.
Yeah, fish have been shown capable of so many more complex cognitive skills than I think people realise. Anything else you want to talk about from Blue Planet 2? Any particular moments that you enjoyed or...
I thought, did you see the sleeping whales? That was one of the creepiest things I've seen.
Yeah, imagine if you were swimming in the ocean, you just saw a 2-ton whale just bob upright in the water.
That's bizarre.
And when they went down to hunt, and the calf, just had to wait on the surface for the mum to return.
That was quite interesting, actually.
Anything from you, Lauren?
I just loved the jellyfish that wasn't a jellyfish, the man o' war.
Yeah.
I think it's so amazing that it like inflates and acts like a sail and just can, like, makes it stable to stay on the top of the water.
I think they are the scariest creatures in the world, jellyfish.
Oh, jellyfish.
Because they just float around. Like.
Yeah, and they don't have a brain, do they?
No.
And you just wonder what's going on in there.
Okay, so to finish off this week's episode, we're going to have our section we do every week called Well, I Never, but this week there's going to be a slight twist. So I'm going to name a species of animal found in the world, and then Lauren and Pippa are going to have to decide whether they think it is found in the UK or it's not found in the UK. And then hopefully I'll provide some interesting information about where you can see it, if you can see it, and any other kind of interesting facts about it. So we're going to start off, we've got four to go through. The first one are stick insects. So true or false, stick insects can be found in the UK?
Probably.
Yeah,
probably true.
I would have said true.
So in the game of true or false, you've said probably.
I say true.
Yeah, I think true.
Yeah, that is correct. So yeah, several species are found in the UK. They're found in Devon, in Cornwall and the Isles of Scilly. Spotting them can be a challenge.
I've seen one.
In this country?
Not in this country. I can't remember where, though, but it was quite cool.
Oh, well, I've seen one. Not in this country. I think you've seen one. This could be amazing.
Pardon?
Obviously it can be a challenge because of the kind of the fact they're trying to blend into their surroundings, but sometimes you can fast them basking in the sun on walls or rocks, and that may have been where Pippa saw hers. The next species in Well I Never is a wallaby. True or false, you can find wallabies in the UK?
They're in our local zoo. There are wallabies everywhere.
In the wild?
No, but they aren't in cages. They're not in enclosures. They go around the pathways and stuff.
But they're still not wild.
But they're not trapped.
But they're trapped in the zoo.
No, they can go in now.
So when the zoo's closed, they can get out of the zoo?
They're not owned by the zoo.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
The answer is true. There are small colonies found in Loch Lomond, Scotland, and the Isle of Man. And they were deliberately introduced to Loch Lomond by a previous owner. And if you want to see them, head to these locations or potentially Harpenden Zoo.
What do wallabies look like?
Interesting,
like mini
you
kangaroos.
Say that. Like smaller kangaroos, yeah. Okay, so the third one, big cats. Can any big cats be found in the UK?
I think so. I think there's in the Highlands, aren't there? They're not domestic cats, they're like slightly bigger.
Scottish wildcats?
Yes.
Correct, Amundo. Yeah, there are. The degree of which they're big is questionable, but yeah, you can see a Scottish wildcat in the Highlands of Scotland. With regards to other big cats, I mean, it's probably false. Although numerous sightings have been reported in places such as Dartmoor, there have been no confirmed reports of them living in the wild, and there's been numerous incidents of the police being called because a big cat's been seen and it's turned out to be a cuddly toy tiger or something. So, Scottish wildcats, yes. Lions, tigers, probably not. And lastly, for people who are resident of a certain location, this one will be obvious, but Pippa, I'm going to ask you.
Okay.
Parakeets. Can parakeets be seen in the UK, true or false?
Yeah.
Yeah, where?
Nottingham?
No, not Nottingham.
Harpenden?
Harpenden?
There's parakeets everywhere at my home.
Is it just Harpenden?
Well, no, but I think they're getting... They're more and more increasing everywhere in Britain.
Wow.
But there's so many where I am.
Do you hazard a guess to the estimated population of parakeets in the London area?
Are you going to give me, like, some to pick from? I don't know.
A, 5, B, 50,000, C, 5 million.
50,000.
Yep, correct.
And they all fly in pairs as well. Interesting. That's thanks to you.
I used to have a parakeet.
They sometimes fly in pairs. They often fly in bigger groups.
Yeah, okay. They're not on their own, though.
And whilst... extremely pretty. Some residents have complained because they make a hell of a racket when they're in big groups.
They do. They make so much noise.
Is that you then?
I'm complaining. No.
So that brings us to the end of this week's podcast. Thank you for tuning in. Feel free to leave comments on the Facebook page if you've got any feedback or if you want to appear on the show. A massive thank you to Lauren and Pippa for joining me today.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us. Yeah,
it's fun. And all that leaves me to say is goodbye, and I'll see you next week for the next episode.